Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A door-to-door salesman from a publishing house stopped by a lady's home and asked if she owned a Bible. "I certainly do," she said with great pride. His next question was pretty obvious. "Do you read it regularly?" "Why, of course I do," she said. And with that, she sent her little daughter off to get the Bible out of the drawer. When her daughter gave her the Bible, she opened it, and there was a check in the Bible. And she said, "There's that check. I've been looking for that for 3 years. In both the Old Testament lesson for today and the Gospel lesson for today, we hear about pride and humility. In Proverbs, we hear about humility. The writer says, "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." And in the Gospel lesson, we hear about pride. Jesus is invited to a dinner party by the Pharisees, and he notices that people are taking places as close as they can to the head of the table. He warns them it's better to start out sitting near the end of the table or the end of the room and be asked to move up rather than being embarrassed and asked to move down because you're assuming a position of pride that would not suit your level of presence at that gathering. I can tell you from experience that it's a good idea to do that. Several years ago, we were invited to an anniversary celebration of some distant, although financially blessed, relatives of ours. As we entered the hall, the chairs and tables near the head table were beginning to fill up. And with this parable in mind, we chose to sit much farther back, toward the back of the room. Just before the ceremony was about to begin and all the tables in the front were full, one of our cousins came and said, "Come up to the front and sit at the table with the immediate family members." I can tell you that it was much more comfortable being called forward to sit with what everybody knew was the family members rather than being asked to say, "Well, sorry, you're not that close a relative. Go sit back there." So, what is our problem with pride? Why do we tend to be so proud? Why do we focus so much on it? You might say, "Well, I'm proud of our church. I'm proud of our children. I'm proud to be a Christian." Some may even be proud to be a Beaver or a Duck fan. Is there anything wrong with being proud like that? Well, probably not. But you see, when it comes to pride, we walk kind of a thin line. When we are proud, we may be taking credit for something that we didn't really do, and that it wasn't our doing that accomplished that. Making the thing of which we are so proud an accomplishment, perhaps that's somebody else's accomplishment. Might the pride of our accomplishment also be a blessing from God? Could you have accomplished that without His help? We have to be careful about what we are proud, because somebody once made this observation. Pride is so subtle that if we aren't careful, we'll be proud of our humility. When this happens, our goodness becomes badness, and our virtues become vices. We can easily be like the Sunday school teacher who, having told the story of the Pharisee and the publican, finally said to her children, "Let's bow our heads and thank God that we are not like the Pharisees." Not exactly the way God would have us pray. So perhaps our problem is not with pride, but how we view humility. Like the Greeks of Jesus' time, we tend to look at pride as being weak or meek or submissive. But that's not true Christian humility. Some time ago, Mac Davis wrote a song, and the chorus line went like this. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror because I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best I can. The world calls to us in voices that want to encourage us to be prideful. Our appetite says, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Our education says, be respectful, expand your knowledge, expand yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied by yourself, please yourself first. Psychology tells us that we should be confident and fulfill ourselves. Our pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. Notice that in each one of those, the focus is on yourself. But God, on the other hand, says, be wise, humble yourself. As I considered these texts over this week, I came to this conclusion. Pride is about self, and humility is about others. In this text, Jesus isn't merely teaching good manners. He's not talking about how we should behave at dinner parties. He's teaching us a lifestyle in which we put others before ourselves, a lifestyle quite the opposite of pride, as the world would have us profess. In Philippians, Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only at his own interests, but also in the interests of others. That doesn't sound like weakness to me. It doesn't sound like somebody who's soft. It doesn't sound like somebody who's meek. It doesn't sound like somebody who's despicable. It sounds like somebody who genuinely cares for others. In the gospel for today, Jesus says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus certainly had a right to teach on this subject. He is the one who was made perfectly humble. But he is also the one who gave the ultimate example of someone who deserved the highest seat. But rather than doing that, he took the lowest seat. He took the position of greatest humility. He was crucified like a criminal, hanging naked on a cross. But then, as a result of that humility, God moved him up to a higher seat, to a throne on the right hand of God. The implication here is that when we humble ourselves by confessing our sins, then we will be exalted. Not necessarily on this earth. Our reward won't necessarily come here. But just as Christ was moved to a higher place, we too will be moved to a higher place on the day of the Lord. And finally, Jesus says, when you give a dinner or a banquet, don't invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or neighbors, lest they are able to invite you and return the favor, and you will be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. Why? Because you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. In your Christian humility, in your concern for others, don't care for people who can pay you back. Rather, take care of people who will not be able to pay you back, because your reward will be in heaven. And as a Christian, that's where we would all desire to go. To truly humble yourself means to take your eyes off of yourself and focus on others. To humble yourself means to start living focused on others' problems and not your own. I've been doing some walking lately. I got a new app for my phone and it tracks where I've been. It's a great motivator to walk. But I've learned something in walking. I learned it many years ago for the first time when I was teaching school. On those days when I would go to school down and depressed and feeling sorry for myself and wondering if I had chosen the right profession. In those days when I would go to school, the kids wanted to talk about everything but about history. On those days, I noticed something. I noticed that when I got up in front of that classroom and began teaching, I started to feel better. It started to be more comfortable. Life didn't seem to be as bad. I concluded that the reason was not because I was standing there, but because I was focusing on the kids and not on myself. And suddenly I was thinking about what they needed to hear and what they needed to learn and not about my own whining about life. So as I walk in the morning and be concerned about all of the things that I have to get done, a sermon for Sunday, a Sunday school lesson for Sunday, the Winkles coming up in a week or so, there are some other things going on, and I'm feeling like, oh, poor little me. And when I meet somebody, for that instant, I have to look at them, I have to think about them, and say good morning to them in the cheeriest voice that I can find. It's when I focus on them that I start to feel better. It's when I become humble before them that I feel better. Pride is something that's always going to be with us because we're broken and sinful people. It's part of our human nature. It's part of the old Adam that is in us. And Satan would like nothing better than for us to focus on ourselves all of the time and forget about the needs of other people. But he cringes when we assume that role of humility by putting others first. He scowls when we think about somebody else's needs before our own. And he gives up when we put others first in our lives. And when we put others first in our lives, then our burden is lightened. When we put others first in our lives, we find something of value, like the lady who pridefully claimed to have read her Bible all the time. By putting others first, you may be rewarded with an unexpected blessing. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And so, with all of those thoughts about Christian humility in mind, let me close with this prayer. Lord Jesus, meek and humble of heart, deliver us from the desire of being exalted, from the desire of being honored, from the desire of being praised. Lord Jesus, meek and humble of heart, deliver us from the fear of being humiliated, from the fear of being despised, from the fear of being wronged. Lord Jesus, grant us grace, that others may be esteemed more than we, that others may be chosen and we set aside, that others may be praised and we unnoticed. Amen. Now may the mercy and grace and peace of God that transcends all understanding keep you in faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.